Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, it's emerged a plane which crashed in County Waterford with the loss of one life this afternoon had taken off in Sligo. The Tánaiste and Finance Minister has been urged to ensure 43 families who could be excluded from the revised effective block scheme because they were early starters are not left behind. Visiting restrictions are in place on 3 wards at Letterkenny University Hospital as a result of flu and norovirus, and a security alert in the Dalby Close area of Derry, where a number of homes were evacuated earlier today, has now ended. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with this afternoon's plane crash in County Waterford. One person has died and at least 2 others were injured following the collision involving a light aircraft near Tremor. It happened shortly before 1 o'clock this afternoon close to Waterford Airport. Gardaí and emergency services remain at the scene. The plane had been flying from Sligo to France. The Southern correspondent with the Irish Independent, Ralph Regal, outlines what's believed to have happened.
This aircraft was apparently en route from Sligo to Béziers in France. It was just south of Waterford, just off the coast, when apparently some emergency occurred. The pilot declared an emergency and he did a U-turn and attempted to make an emergency landing at Waterford Airport. Unfortunately, it appears the plane just couldn't reach the airport and it came down in a field just short of it.
The Tánaiste and Finance Minister has been urged to ensure that 43 families who could be excluded from the revised effective block scheme because they were early starters are not left behind. Donegal Deputy Charles Ward criticised the government's decision to waive pre-legislative scrutiny of the defective concrete bill, saying there are issues that need to be addressed. In the Dáil this afternoon, he told Simon Harris that an arbitrary cut-off point of March 2024 could mean some families lose out on thousands of euro. He said the government claims to have a sense of urgency about this issue, but its actions suggest otherwise.
On June 14th, 2022, the Taoiseach said, we'll get on with it. Well, with that attitude, 205 homes built partially, completed in Donegal, 579 works ongoing, 43 homes completely abandoned, 3,000 applications, most of them stuck, just like myself. I've been on this for 5 years, stuck in this scheme, can't progress. I agreed with Minister Brown to waiver scrutiny on caps and rates and amendments if there was nobody left behind, but amendments have also been pushed through without public debate. You roll with the headlines, billions on a scheme people can't access because it's too hard and it's worthless. It's all figures, but nobody's getting on it. 1.4 million on a security hut, but 43 families, taxpaying families, abandoned. So, Taoiseach, as Minister for Finance, I'm asking you in the bill coming up to include the 43 homeowners and deliver side-by-side building for vulnerable families so nobody is left behind.
Well, thanks very much, Deputy Warden. Look, I appreciate your mandate in this House, your strong mandate to represent people in relation to these issues, and I respect the fact that you engage with us on this regularly. I would point out, though, that the figures we cite aren't just headlines. They are a genuine commitment from the Exchequer to provide an extraordinary and quite rightly sum of money to try and assist people in this issue. I do accept that there's challenges we're all trying to work our way through constructively, including government deputies like Minister McConnell Oak. That is why there's commitments in the programme for government. That is why legislation is coming forward. And I will ask Minister Brown to specifically come back on those homes that you mentioned today.
And that was Tánaiste Simon Harris and Donegal Deputy Charles Ward in the Dáil earlier this afternoon. Visiting restrictions are in place on 3 wards at Letterkenny University Hospital. The HSC says due to outbreaks of norovirus and flu, infection control measures have been put in place. With more, here's Katie Gillen.
In a statement to Highland Radio News this afternoon, management have confirmed that visiting restrictions are in operation in Medical 5, Medical 8 and the Medical Short Stay wards. They say visitors to the affected wards may be facilitated on compassionate grounds. They are stressing this will be on an exceptional basis only, and anyone who wishes to do so should contact the relevant ward manager in advance. All visitors are being asked to cooperate with hospital staff who are ensuring the restrictions are adhered to and to sanitise their hands while entering and leaving the hospital. Anyone with symptoms of diarrhoea and or vomiting or symptoms such as a sore throat, cough, temperature or shortness of breath is asked not to visit the hospital to help keep vulnerable patients safe.
A security alert in the Dunabbey Close area of Derry has ended. A number of homes had been evacuated earlier today following attendance by ammunition technical officers. The PSNI say a search was carried out which failed to find any devices of the nature reported to them. Residents have now returned to their homes. Reports from the ISPCC say children receive over 2,000 contacts a year in relation to sexual, physical and emotional abuse. Those calls are received by Childline. A national Christmas appeal is being launched by the charity in relation to young people and sexual abuse. Data from Childline also shows 14 children a week reach out about sexual abuse. Childline listening supervisor Regina O'Sullivan says the charity saw a record number of reports in 2024.
So last year we saw a record high. There was 2,300 children that contacted us talking about some form of sexual abuse that had happened in their lives.
The Dáil has been hearing calls once again today from opposition parties to tackle rising energy costs. Sinn Féin says the growing number of households in arrears on their energy bills is a flashing warning light. The Social Democrats told the Taoiseach Simon Harris this afternoon that the government made lots of promises before the general election last year and then promptly forgot about their commitments after it. It follows the publication this week of figures which show a major increase in the number of people in arrears on their electricity and their gas bills. Well, Donegal TD and Party Finance spokesperson Pierce Doherty told the Dáil that that figure is alarming.
These are not just numbers. They are cold living rooms where families sit wrapped in coats because they can't risk switching on the heat. They're older people rationing warmth, terrified of opening their next bill. They're parents that are hiding final notices, hoping that their next pay packet will stretch far enough to keep the lights on. And all of this is happening because your government has done nothing to tackle the rip-off.
Well, responding, Taoiseach and Finance Minister Simon Harris said while a €1,000 fuel allowance is available on this side of the border, the equivalent payment in the north is between £1 and £300. He accused Deputy Doherty and Sinn Féin of demonstrating what he termed partitionist hypocrisy.
This is happening even with energy credits supplied last year. Your response has been to withdraw those energy credits. How and under God do you think that these families are going to survive?
You have a partitionist approach when it comes to energy policy. You don't think it's enough for somebody in County Louth to have €1,000 in fuel allowance this winter, but you think someone up the road in Armagh should get by on just £100. The economy minister in Northern Ireland is from Sinn Féin. The executive is headed up by Sinn Féin. You're the largest party in the Assembly. You haven't brought forward a cost of living package. The fuel allowance is a paltry £100 to £300 compared to the €1,000 here. So to the people at home this winter, access our supports, but don't fall for their hypocrisy.
You don't like the truth.
You've had your opportunity, please. Deputy Doherty, Deputy Mark Wall. Thanks, Secretary. Deputy Doherty.
And those exchanges in the Dáil this afternoon. The Minister for Justice is being urged to allow migrant workers bring their families to Ireland. It follows a protest organised by the Migrants' Rights Centre, which was held outside Leinster House earlier today. Under current rules, full-time migrant workers face long waiting times before they can be reunited with their families. Regional Officer with Unite the Union, Michael O'Brien, says these workers look after Irish families but can't go home to their own.
These are people that look after our elderly. They're caring by nature as well as professionally, and they want to be able to just parent their own children in their own time outside of work. And I think it's a fair ask, and we're looking for the government to radically reform the family reunification laws to enable them to have that right.
A Donegal senator who was diagnosed with COPD in her late 20s has made an impassioned plea in the Shannon for more investment in services for people with chronic lung problems. Senator Eileen Flynn said she regularly has to pause to catch her breath while speaking in the chamber and feels the pressure on her lungs on a daily basis. She told senators that given her family history, she fears for her future and that of her family.
I know what it's like every day to walk with a heavy chest, to be out of breath. So I know the importance of services for people with COPD. My mother also had COPD and passed away at 48 years of age. I have now got lung failure. I've never spoke about it before. And for me, every single day is a struggle with my lungs And I know as a young woman of 36 years of age that I don't know how long I have with my kids, but I do know that for women like me and for men like me, we need the best services we can have for people with chronic lung disease. So I wouldn't just ask for you to deliver a message, leader. My ask today is that we have a debate on asthma, COPD, and that it's really invested in. Like, even now I'm a bit, you know, and I know that, like, even the Caherlach of the Shannon numerous of times has given me a chance to get my breath in here. It's something that it's not easy to speak about and you're judged over it. But again, I think it is, I think it's a debate that we should have in this house around investing in lung and heart services in our country. Thank you.
Staying in Shannadaran, and the Donegal Senator says the Office of Public Works and Donegal County Council must ensure work is done to protect communities from coastal erosion. Senator Manus Boyle highlighted Inver, which was allocated €45,000 under the Minor Flood Mitigation Works and Coastal Protection Scheme in April of this year, but still hasn't seen the work completed. Minister of State Christopher O'Sullivan confirmed the responsibility lies with the OPW and local authority to see the work done. Well, in the Shannon, Senator Boyle said people's homes are on the brink of collapse and something must be done soon.
I think there's an onus on the OPW and Donegal County Council here to get things moving. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a massive issue in Donegal. This is only the tip of the iceberg here, to be honest, because, you know, these people's houses, they're within maybe 5 metres of a garden going into the sea in Inver. So, like, it's really important that we get moving on it. You know, stitching time saves a lot of money. And be putting in the rock armour now and getting it in before there's any more storms. It gives the people in the houses reassurance. It gives the families, the children in the house, that know that when they go to bed at night, that their garden's not going to be gone in the morning. So I think Donegal County Council and OPW, we really need to get moving on this, you know. We really do. And hopefully, if you go back to the minister, maybe he would make a call to Donegal County Council to see what's going on. Can we push it on?
The hashtag Buy Donegal scheme is making a return for 2025 to shine a spotlight on business in the county. The initiative serves as an opportunity for local businesses to showcase their products and services while encouraging everyone to support them. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Developed by Donegal County Council, this year's campaign will run from November 24th to December 19th, offering ample time for festive shopping and discovering the best of Donegal. In 2024, 400 businesses participated in Buy Donegal, presenting consumers with an opportunity to find unique gifts in Donegal while supporting the local economy. The campaign includes a diverse range of sectors, food and beverage producers, artisans, tourism and retailers. It will be promoted through an online marketing strategy, including a dedicated website, buydonegal.com, where shoppers can browse an extensive selection of products and services from Donegal businesses. People are also being encouraged to share their experiences on social media by using hashtag buydonegal or hashtag canidunanal. More information on how businesses can sign up for the campaign can be found on our website, highlandradio.com.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Give the perfect gift this Christmas with a gift card from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 17 minutes past five. Good evening, Mark Gunner.
Thanks, Dono. Good evening. We'll begin with soccer. The draw for the FIFA World Cup playoffs took place earlier after Troy Parrott's heroics last week. Ireland will play Czechia in their playoff semi-final in Prague on the 26th of March. Should Heimir Hallgrímsson's side prevail in Czechia, they would then host the winners of Denmark and North Macedonia in the final at the Aviva Stadium on March 31st. Ireland boss Hallgrímsson says the prospect of playing a one-off game at the Aviva to get to the World Cup will be a huge incentive heading into that first game in Prague.
I didn't care much who the opponent would be because it's all teams ranked above us. It's all teams that would play at home. So for me, it was not much of a difference between who we would face. So, yeah, I know Czech Republic, I know it's a tough place to go to. But, you know, anything can happen in this game like we saw in Hungary. But the most exciting thing was if we managed to win the first game, that we would get a home game for the second one.
Northern Ireland have been handed a tough draw. They will go to Rome to face Italy in their semi-final, and should they get through that, they would have an away trip to the winners of Wales against Bosnia-Herzegovina in their final. Their manager, Michael O'Neill, is optimistic and says they'll relish being the underdogs.
We were always going to have a difficult game, you know, whoever that would be away from home. So it's a great game for us to play against Italy. Obviously, they would be strong favourites, you know, but obviously we can maybe use that to our advantage as well.
Barcelona put their unbeaten record in this season's Women's Champions League on the line tonight. They travel to London for a meeting with Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, where kickoff is at 8 o'clock. Moving on to rugby, Sam Prendergast has been named at out half for Ireland's massive November test against South Africa on Saturday. The Leinster playmaker retains his spot in the starting team from last weekend's big win over Australia. Gary Ringrose and Josh van der Fleer are back at centre and in the back row respectively, having recovered from hamstring issues. On the Springboks front, winger Kirtley Irons has been ruled out. He's replaced by Cannon Moody. It's also a 6-2 split on the bench with Andre Esterhuizen covering flanker and centre. Head coach Razzy Erasmus has described the world champions as the red meat that Ireland want to eat.
For us, it's massive coming here. I mean, we know what the vibe's going to be like on Saturday. It's fantastic. It's lekker. No, we appreciate what you're saying, and we're seeing it as much of a privilege, and we understand that we're the red meat that you guys want to eat. So, yeah, we must hide away and try and see how we can get past your mouth.
In Gaelic games, the match between ATU Donegal and TU Dublin in the Ladies Gaelic Football League Division 2 will now take place at the earlier time of 6:30 at the Donegal GAA Centre in Convoy this evening. The fixture between ATU Donegal and Queen's University in the Senior Hurling League Division 3, originally scheduled for 8:30 this evening, has been postponed. Moving on to motorsport, Lewis Hamilton has defended his work ethic following criticism from Ferrari chairman John Elkann. The seven-time F1 world champion and his teammate Charles Leclerc were told to focus on driving and talk less by the company's boss. Ferrari are fourth in the Constructors' Championship, and Hamilton says it's been a tough season but insists there are some positives to take.
Ultimately, we all have to take accountability and responsibility. I back my team 100% and I back myself still 100%. And whilst I know it hasn't been a good year for us, there have been so many learnings. And I think just for me personally, I feel like I've grown so much this year.
Well, young Donegal driver Jaden McElhinney is heading for Silverstone this weekend to pick up his award for finishing third overall in the British Kart Racing Championships. The 10-year-old Manor Cunningham native competed against some of the most talented young drivers in the UK and Ireland, including the younger brother of F1 star George Russell and the son of Mercedes F1 team principal Toto Wolff. Jaden will collect his accolade tomorrow at the famous Silverstone track in the UK. Finally, coming up on the Score programme this evening, we'll be hearing from the Donegal and Inishowen camps ahead of Sunday's Oscar Trainer Trophy meeting in Ballyar. Bunkrana kickboxer Liam Grant will speak to us as he prepares to headline the Heat 11 fight night in Derry next weekend. And our athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal will talk us through the local interest at this Sunday's National Senior and Underage Cross Country Championships. I'll be back with all that during the Score after the 7 o'clock news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, as we said, it is a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the grim news that dog attacks on livestock have reached a six-year high. But first this evening, I want to tell you about an equine information event that's been organised by Teagasc and which is taking place in the Clanry Hotel in Letterkenny this coming Monday, November the 24th at 7 o'clock. Well, to get some more details, I've been speaking with Teagasc advisor Tommy Doherty.
Yeah, thanks, Chris, for the opportunity to speak. Yeah, so we're holding a equine night now on Monday evening in Letterkenny, in the Clanry, at 7 o'clock. It's probably in the region of 15 or so years since there was a equine information night like this. Just to give you a bit of a rundown on it, like in Donegal at present, there's somewhere in around 510 active equine holdings. And within that, in the last 2024 census, we've somewhere around 2,500 horses registered within Donegal. So, you know, there are a lot of horses in Donegal, and we have a good lineup of speakers there with four speakers lined up. So Anne Scott, anybody in the equine world will know Anne Scott. She operates under the name there of Inishowen Equi Centre. And joining Anne, we have Mary-Kate Fullerton. Mary-Kate works in Cairn Vets, and she has a good passion too for horses. So They'll basically go through sort of winter health care and dosing and disease prevention and nutrition, etc. So two very well-established people. And then we have Carolyn Patterson. Carolyn works here in the Stranraer Order office. Carolyn will be covering sort of the horse movements and the traceability section. And then we move on then to Kevin McMiniman. Kevin would be our TAM specialist. There is a good number of grants that are available for equine farmers under the TAMS program. Some of them at 60% and some of them at 40%. So Kevin's going to run down through what's available and how to be compliant with that scheme. And then we have Patrick Gibbons here. Patrick works in Chagas Athletic Uni, and Patrick would have a good passion there for safety and health and safety, and he deals with the green shirt shooters. So Patrick's going to cover a little bit there on thriller safety. So look, it should be a very informative evening, Chris, and it'll be interesting, you know.
And I know Chagas has held monthly equine webinars, Let's Talk Equine. They've proved to be very popular. And from what you're saying, you know, it's an area that's seen increased interest judging by the numbers.
Without a doubt, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Look, it's just, it's nice to get farmers back out to these events since COVID and that. And like traditionally, a lot of the equine work would have been done within Chagas out of Kildalton and Athenry and that. And it's just nice to have something here on our own doorstep. So I'd encourage anybody that has an interest in getting into horses or has horses maybe to attend the evening. And there's always, you always pick up something.
Yeah, and everybody welcome. There's no charge. You don't have to register. No. Just come along.
Correct. Everybody welcome. There's no charge. And there'll be light refreshments served in the evening too. And it's just, it'll be a good interactive meeting point and hopefully generate a good discussion. And that's what it's all about. Just getting the knowledge out there. And everybody takes home something from every meeting or walk or that we hold, you know.
And that was Tommy Darley, Chagas advisor. Now, changing to something quite different, the Department of Agriculture's 2024 dog control statistics show that livestock attacks are at their highest level since reporting began. Rachel Donovan, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been writing about the issue this week, and she's been telling me more. There's been a lot about this during the year, a number of incidents all over the country, so real concern about this.
Yeah, there is, Chris. This is a story that we pick up here in the Journal, kind of month in, month out. You hear of a dog attack on sheep around the country, and the department have been compiling figures on the number of attacks in each county and on, you know, whether it's on sheep or on cattle or on poultry over the last 6 years. And we're actually at a kind of an all-time high since those figures have been compiled. So it's up 4% on last year, and it's at the highest, as I said, it's the highest it's ever been. I have a map on page 16 in this week's paper, and it just looks at the different counties where animals have been attacked by sheep. And obviously these are only the numbers that we're aware of. These are only the farmers who actually report the attacks. I'm sure there are lots of farmers around the country who have their sheep or their sheep who have their sheep attacked by dogs, and they just don't report the incident and they feel like it's not going to make any difference. But when these figures are compiled, it just shows the severity of it. I'm looking at the map here now, Chris, and Donegal in 2024 had 30 attacks on livestock. And as I said, that those are only the ones being reported. But there's kind of three big issues here. You know, it's the fact that the number of dog attacks are going in the wrong direction. They're going up. And the other thing is that there are fines being handed out to dog owners for the lack of dog control, or for, in this case, their dogs attacking sheep. And the fines are not being paid. So there were 1,700 fines handed out in 2024 and only 600 of them have been paid. So, you know, over two-thirds of fines are going unpaid there. And the other thing then is microchipping, Chris. So it's very important that dogs, and by law, it's required that dogs are microchipped. But this report found that over 56% of dogs who are surrendered to pounds, to the local authority pounds, are not microchipped. You know, I was talking to a farmer recently who had a dog attack in, he was on the Kildare-Wicklow border, and he managed to be, happened to be there in, while it was happening, got word that the that there was two dogs attacking his sheep. He arrived as soon as he could and shot one of the dogs, and he realised then that the dog didn't have a microchip. But even he said that he had asked his vet that even if the dog did have a microchip, they wouldn't be able to tell him who the dog owner was for GDPR reasons. So there's still a lot of work there to be done in terms of the whole fine thing, the microchipping. Farmers are under lots of scrutiny and have to abide by very high standards, and it seems that the same is not the case for dog owners.
And that was Rachel Donovan, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. And in other news, the Department of Agriculture has issued a new map outlining the predicted risk of disease caused by liver fluke infection in livestock this winter. This year's forecast is based on meteorological data gathered between May and October by Met Éireann. The data predicts infection being most prevalent in the Midlands, West and Northern half of the country, with a lower disease prevalence in the southeast. Counties in the northwest were more heavily affected, with 60 to 80% of herds in counties Sligo, Mayo, Leitrim, Roscommon and Donegal reported to have signs at slaughter. The department says it's important for all farmers to know whether liver fluke is present on their farm and to treat accordingly to avoid production losses. Well, elsewhere, the popular Black Beauty's Suffolk sale at Blessington Mart in Wicklow attracted big interest last weekend, and topping the sale for a price of €7,500 was a special ewe lamb from the Malinhead flock of John Doherty. Meanwhile, the Farmer Health Checks programme has been named the Public Health Initiative of the Year at the Irish Healthcare Awards 2025. The initiative also secured the prestigious Future of Medicine Award, recognising its impact and innovation in improving health outcomes for the farming community. The Free Health Checks programme concluded last month, surpassing its target of providing 2,000 health checks around 30 locations nationwide. By the way, if you wish to contact me, the best way is by email, and the address is farmingdonegal@gmail.com. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Looking at the weather forecast, dry, clear and cold this evening and tonight, with temperatures falling to between 0 and minus 3 degrees Celsius, widespread frost and icy stretches, cloud beginning to build later in the night with southwesterly breezes developing. Frost and ice will gradually clear tomorrow morning, dry and sunny to start tomorrow, but cloud will increase through the morning, outbreaks of rain spreading from the west in the afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow 5 to 8 degrees Celsius in a freshening southwesterly breeze. And just confirmation from Donegal County Council that all routes designated under the council's winter maintenance programme will be gritted this evening and again from 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. The main stories in brief. A person has died in a plane crash in County Waterford. At least two others are injured following the light aircraft's collision near Tremor. It happened shortly before 1 o'clock this afternoon, close to Waterford Airport. It's understood the plane had been flying from Sligo to Béziers in France. The Taoiseach and Finance Minister has been urged to ensure that 43 families who may be excluded from the revised defective block scheme because they were early starters are not left behind. Deputy Charles Ward criticised the government's decision in the Dáil today to waive pre-legislative scrutiny of the defective concrete bill, saying there are issues that need to be addressed. And visiting restrictions are in place on three wards at Letterkenny University Hospital. The HSE says due to outbreaks of norovirus and flu, infection control measures have been put in place. Full details on that and indeed on all of today's stories on our website, highlandradio.com. We're back with headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, November 20th. The death has taken place of Eddie Griffin, Ojadrina, Ross Nikhil, Fanad, reposing at his late residence, which is private, please. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Columba's Church, Massmount, with burial afterwards in Massmount Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on Patrick Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Pieta House, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Peter Houston, Birmingham, England, formerly of Ruskie, Newton Cunningham. Funeral arrangements later in County Donegal. The death has taken place of Joe Houston, Birmingham, England, formerly Ruskie, Newton Cunningham. Funeral arrangements later in Birmingham. The death has occurred of Joseph Gallagher, RSE Donal Nursing Home, formerly of Cleggan, Carrigart. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Letterkenny, at 6 p.m. this evening to repose at his late residence. Funeral Mass at St. John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, on Saturday morning at 11 a.m, followed by burial. House private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Thomas Carr, Milltown, Barnesmore, reposing at his late residence until 9 p.m. this evening and tomorrow from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. with rosary at 9 p.m. Removal to St. Agatha's Church, Clare, on Saturday for 11 a.m. funeral mass. Burial afterwards at St. Agatha's Cemetery, Clare. House private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Tom Diver, Drimaha, Ardra, reposing at his home until 10 p.m. this evening. A shuttle bus will be in operation from Church of the Holy Family car park, family only, tomorrow morning, with funeral mass at 12 noon in the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.